Everybody's left me on stage now. I'm going to be up here by myself for the remainder of our time. But if you're a family member that's here today for the child dedications, I just want to thank you for being here with us. If you can give all the family members a round of applause for being here. We always talk about doing child dedications at the end of our worship experience, just so family members have to stay all the way till the end. But then we realize that sometimes kids wouldn't make it till the end of the worship experience. So it's like we have to just hope and pray that everybody that comes as guests will stay till the end. But listen, child dedications are over. So if you're here as a guest, you could totally leave right now. But I will know if you did it. And so will God. Okay? Let's pray. Lord, just bless the remainder of our time we have today. Bless this word. Lord, I humble myself before you. I pray that the words that come out of my mouth during this message portion of today would be from you, not from me. Lord, may your word not just be heard by people, may it be absorbed into their heart, Lord, and may we walk it out. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So today is a standalone message. What does that mean? We're one church in four locations, so there are three other locations of Bridge City Church that are hearing different messages today. And we do this a few times during the year where the campus pastor or whoever's preaching at that campus gets to prepare a message specific for that location. And we're not in a series, so next week we'll be picking up a new series leading into Christmas. So today's message is really just something that I've been believing for our campus. I think it's something that's pertinent for today and pertinent for people that are in the room, because I think that some of us really are going through some things that we need to get through or get past, okay? And how do we do that? We really hold on to God's word. Now, it's really quite opposite to how we as a culture that we've grown up in usually get through things. Now, if you've heard me preach before, you've heard me speak before, you've heard me say this statement before, and you'll hear me say it again, not just today, but throughout the rest of my life, and that is the Mon Valley spirit, okay? Now, how we usually get through things, if you grew up in the Mon Valley at all, is you just work harder. You just white knuckle it. You just do more, and you'll get through it, right? You'll just get through it. That's how you do it. You get through it. And if you don't just get through it, you just don't tell anyone you're going through something. Keep it to yourself. It's nobody's business. Am I talking to the wrong group of people? Okay, you've never had that happen. Your parents never told you that as a kid. Shh. Don't tell. Just get through it. Right? You just have to get through it. Just push through. But that's not how it happens. You have to understand that God wants you to function in a different way. How do we get through some things? I believe that if we hold on to God's word, we get through some things in life. Now, I didn't grow up a Christian. As a matter of fact, I grew up Serbian Orthodox, but I met a girl when I started coming to church. And now I can't fathom what it looks like to not have the kingdom of God. I can't fathom what it looks like to not have Jesus. I'll talk more about that later, but the title of today's message is Holding On to God's Word. Jesus said in John 8, verses 31 and 32, "You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Set you free from what? First and foremost, yourself. Set you free from your stinking thinking. Set you free from how you used to do things. Set you free from how you used to operate. Set you free from the Mon Valley spirit. Just white knuckle, just get through, just work harder, just do it. You don't need any help. You don't need this, that, or the third. You can do it on your own. Listen, I'm sitting here before you today completely on the other side of a 5-year battle. Completely healed from a massive bone infection. I'm thanking God, praising God. First Thanksgiving in 5 years that I ate food and didn't fake it till I make it. There's a picture of me with food in front of my plate and I actually ate it. Okay? Now listen, I'm excited to share that with you. But I was still joyful and still victorious and still all that for 5 years. I preached messages about being victorious. I preached messages about being joyful. I preached messages up here with IVs in my arm and you didn't know. I preached messages that I threw up in that bathroom 2 minutes before I did it and none of you knew except for the people that were holding my hair. You're like, he doesn't have hair. I did at the time. Spiritually speaking, I have long locks. But how do you do that? You hold on to God's word. I was healed before I was healed. My body just didn't catch up yet. You have to hold on to God's word. And how do you do that? You make it the foundation of your life. It has to be the foundation that you build upon. And you continue to build upon. You continue to build upon. Pastor Keith Tusey, the founding pastor of our church, his son is a custom home builder, like from spec, beautiful, beautiful homes. And he just shared a picture over Thanksgiving, right beforehand. They were building the biggest home that they were going to be building ever so far, and they shared the foundation that was being poured, the footer. And they showed, he said, this is the biggest footer we've ever poured, the biggest foundation to date. And guess what? You're never going to see it again. You'll never see this footer again. You'll never see the foundation again. It'll be the most beautiful home some of us will ever see. The mudroom will be bigger than some of our homes. The kitchen will be bigger than some of our homes. Listen, the bathroom will be bigger than some of our kitchens, and you'll never see the foundation ever again. But that's how it should be. And that's how it should be in our lives. The foundation that you pour and you build upon for the rest of your life is so important. So what is your foundation? What does it look like? When the storms of your life come, does your house just get completely blown over, or is it solid? Matthew 7, verse 24. Everyone who hears these words, anyone who hears these words, listen, I'm not the smartest man in the world. I don't claim to be. I never will claim to be. But if it says anyone, that covers anyone. Anyone who listens to my teachings and follows it is wise and is like a person who builds a house on a solid rock. Anyone. It doesn't just say the really smart ones. It doesn't just say the ones who understand everything. It doesn't just say the ones who can break down Greek and Hebrew. It doesn't just say the ones that can quote chapter and verse all the time. It doesn't just say the ones that are the smartest and the sharpest and the wisest. No, it says anyone who listens to my teachings and follows it is wise. And it's like building your house on solid rock. Listen, I want to be with some people that are ready to build. I want to be with some people that are ready to take the foundation that is being poured. Some of you for the first time today. Some of you, your foundation's been poured. You're putting extra rebar down because you're adding to the foundation. You're putting an addition off to the left or the right. I don't know, or you're adding a patio on in the back. I don't know. But how do you do this? You need people around you. They're going to teach you and help you and encourage you and empower you. But listen, there's a lot of things in this world that are going to come against you and try to get you to walk differently and try to put cracks in the foundation or challenge the way that you build your foundation or pour the footer. What are they? Here's a big one, culture. I want you to take a picture of this and read the scripture on your own. Now, I said I reserved the right to not read the scripture because I gave you the references, but during the first worship experience, I read them all, so I'm going to read them all again today for the second. Let's look at Exodus 23, verse 2. Do not follow the crowd in doing wrong. Don't follow the crowd. The culture around you is going to walk different than you. You should walk different than them. Don't do what's popular. Rachel and I went to go see a movie. We don't get to go out very often. And we went to go see a musical. I love musicals. Love them. One of my favorite things to do is go see musicals. Because my wife loves musicals. We went and saw Wicked. Okay, because Wizard of Oz is, I like the Tin Man and the Lion, great. There's a great biblical message in that. God's already placed everything within you that you need. You just need somebody to come alongside you and show you. There's a song in the musical, you're going to be popular. I want to come out with a remix to it. I want to live an unpopular life. Because the road to hell is really wide, but the road to heaven, it's narrow. I don't want to be popular. I want Jesus to get all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. I want to be unpopular. I want him to be popular. Go against what's popular. Here we go. What's another one? Reason. Reason. Proverbs 16:25, there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. What's a good example of this? So my house, we are in a construction zone right now. In May, we had a storm that ripped off a portion of our roof, which we didn't know ripped off a portion of our roof until our dining room ceiling fell in. And then our bedroom ceiling looked like the belly of a whale and was going to fall in. And then every night in faith, I pretty much had to encourage my wife that the ceiling wasn't going to fall in. And then in faith, I had to pray to God to help me be a man of my word and not let the ceiling fall in the bedroom. So anyways, we're rebuilding some things. And there's been amazing individuals that are really highly skilled doing the skilled parts of the labor. And I'm doing the labor part of the labor. Now, we put in some new lights because we had not one overhead light in our home. It was built in 1928. Now, 16 of the 17 new lights were put in by highly professional people, like electricians. But the 17th light was put in by myself and my father-in-law 5 times. We put it in 5 times. Because in our reasoning, the 4 times that we put it in wrong, we were doing it correctly. Because in our mind, we knew that we could do it correctly. But it took us 5 times to do it correctly. Now, I just found out that we might have still done it incorrectly because this little wire that we thought was just to support it was actually still a ground wire, Jim. So that is not just to support it. So figured that out. But the cool thing is there's a little book that came with this light. And if we would have read that, not just as individuals, but together, Jim was reading it by himself. If Jim and I would have got down off, if I would have got off the table that I was standing on for a long period of time, and we would have read it together, I bet you we could have reasoned through it and maybe only put the light up once. Our human reasoning will lie to us. But the book won't change. The Bible doesn't need to be changed. It is perfect. It will always be perfect, and it will never change. God doesn't change. And you might not understand everything if you read alone. But if you get together with somebody, maybe in a group, like the things we talk about almost every single week, and you reason together, your reasoning is not going to be off altogether. It's not going to happen. Now, there might be one person in the group that your reasoning is way off. There might be two, but all of you all at once, not going to happen. God won't allow it. It won't happen. I guarantee it. What else lies to us? Our feelings. Judges 21, 25, reading out of the message. At that time, there was no king in Israel, and people did whatever they felt like doing. You ever do whatever you felt like doing? It doesn't usually end well. It doesn't usually end well. Whatever you just, I just feel like doing this. I feel like doing this. I feel like doing this. If you have to make that statement, it should feel wrong. I just feel this. If you have to say, but after something you just said, everything you said prior to that is null and void in my mind. This is, but I really want to read my Bible, but I really want to do everything that you're saying, but here's a really good one that people say all the time. I'm not racist, but. You ever hear that one? What do you mean? You can't say but after that. I love Jesus, but. I love Jesus, but I hate his bride. That's why I don't go to church. That's like somebody coming to me and saying, "I, Pastor Nick, I really love you, but Rachel, she's a piece of work." You want a meeting with me? Come say that to me. We'll have a meeting real quick. I'm being serious. That's what people say. I love Jesus, but I don't like his church, his bride. Because our feelings get in the way of things. Last one. I saved it for last, but I put it second. Hindsight. Tradition. Mark 7, verse 8. You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to human traditions. This one is so, so heavy. In the Mourne Valley. Why are you doing that? That's just what we've always done. Why does your family do that? Oh, that's just what we've always done. Why are you doing it that way? Oh, that's just what we've always done. Why do you still go to that church if you're not alive? You don't hear about Jesus. You don't know anything about him. Well, that's just what we've always done. Tradition will kill you. You want to hear the first fight Rachel and I really, first disagreement we've really ever had? No? Okay, turn the lights off, shut it down, let's go. Come on. Gabe, let's go, we're going to Plaza. Come on. You want it? Oh, okay, I'll turn. Okay, here we go. Thanks, Jason, you already heard it, but you're, thank you. Raving fan publicly. First disagreement was that we needed to have a dust ruffle. That face you just made at me, sir, was the face she made at me. She's like, what in the world is a dust ruffle? Exactly. No, that was after we got married. This is before. I'll tell that story, too. She's like, what in the world's a dust ruffle? I was like, it's that thing that goes under the bed. That goes under. And she's like, what to do? I was like, it ruffles. She's like, ruffles what? And I was like, the dust. It hides the dust and the stuff you put under the bed. She's like, we are not getting one of those. This is before we got married, and this is when we're registering at Bed Bath & Beyond, that place that used to be there, but now it's gone, and Macy's and Target. She's like, we're not getting one of those. I was like, we need one. And she's like, no, we don't. I was like, well, where are we going to hide all the stuff under the bed? She's like, we won't put stuff under the bed. I was like, huh, that's a novel idea. We were breaking tradition. Here's another tradition that I had that I didn't even know I had. We put peanut butter in the fridge. Stupid, right? Right? She broke me of that. I know. My eyes were open, okay? Here's a tradition that she had. They put butter in the fridge. Yeah. No, how do you spread hard butter? If it's salted, you don't have to put it in there. You don't. That's why you have a butter dish. Listen, I'm schooling you on some things, okay? Listen, okay? Traditions are meant to be broken. And listen, some of them are good and need to be created, okay? But sometimes you need your eyes open. Cheddar, Nick, he shouted out, I thought it was cast iron. That was our real, like, first fight. Rachel scrubbed my cast iron frying pan. It was so sweet of her to clean that pan. It was so sweet. It was so, so sweet. Clean your own dishes. She's never cleaned it again. She never has. She has never cleaned it again. She never cleaned that. She never cleaned my Dutch oven. She never will. Never has. Yeah. She's taking it a step further, too. She's never cleaned it, and she won't touch it. I mean, that's grounds for anger. I'm free of these things. She can do whatever she wants with that thing. Okay? But listen, tradition. So how do we take these things and then make it not only impact our life, but impact others? Others should see that our foundation is now being solidified and we're gonna start to build. They need to see the difference in you. Your relationship with Jesus is not meant to be private. It is not meant to be private. It's not. And it's not meant to be something that you throw down people's throats. It's meant to be something that people see and desire. It's meant to be something that's overflowing out of your life. And then they ask the question, why are you the way that you are? How are you that way? How? Well, I'm happy you asked. Let me tell you. I'm happy you asked. Let me invite you to a movie night that my church is having on December 6th. We're showing The Grinch. You're showing The Grinch at church? Yeah, as a matter of fact, we are. And Don't tell them this, but I'm pretty sure your pastor's going to dress up as the Grinch and share the gospel message. Why? Because the message of the gospel is so intertwined in how the Grinch stole Christmas, it's unbelievable. There's going to be an invite that pops up behind me. Watch, here it comes. Sorry, my hands are off. They're tired. Scan that QR code. It'll take you right to the invite page. Invite somebody, not because you want them to see a movie, not because you want them to see the special guest that's going to be here downstairs taking pictures. It's not the Grinch. It's somebody else. I know him. Okay? Listen. It's because you want them to hear the message about Jesus. It's an easy invite. How do you get the word to be overflowing out of your life? You gotta put it in there. You gotta put it in there. You know, we had a marriage night last weekend. Rachel and I were so sad we weren't able to be there. Lennon was sick. Kids will change your plans, right? Thank you to anybody who put that on. It was phenomenal. I'm so proud and honored to be a part of everything that you guys are doing. You guys are amazing. But with the marriage night, marriages went outside of the walls after they were here, and now they're impacting other marriages. People are seeing that because of what you received, and then you're going out. So whenever you place things in your heart and you go outside the walls, things happen. And that doesn't just have to happen on Sunday mornings. So make the word the first part of your daily life. Make it the first part. Matthew 6:33, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Seek him first. You might be like, I don't have time in the morning. Yeah, you do. You do, because I'm not talking about hours here, people. I'm talking about your first 15 minutes. Your first 15 minutes. If you don't have 15 minutes, we have a bigger problem we need to solve. 5 minutes in his word. Your first 5 minutes in his word. Psalm 119:105. Your word is like a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Listen, you would not drive at night without your headlights on. You wouldn't. So why do we go out in the world without a word in our heart? Why do we go out in the world without a plan or a purpose for the day? Why do we do it? Day in and day out, we do that. And we're totally okay with it. Because we get stuck in thinking it's all about quantity instead of quality. I don't have enough time, so I'm not going to spend any time. Does that logic make sense to any of us? No, it doesn't. Quality time is way better than no time. I know this because that's my wife's love language. Quality time, right? Quality time. Quality time. She doesn't just want my time, she wants it to be quality. She wants it to be really good time. She doesn't want it to be time that I'm distracted and dealing with all your stuff. I'm serious. She wants me to turn my phone off and pay attention to her. So what, Fridays are family day. I protect Fridays to the utmost. Thank you. What's your name, ma'am? I like you. Hi.
My name is Pauline.
Hi, Pauline. We've met before. I'm just kidding. Yeah. Everybody, be more like Pauline. Phil. He's like, please don't make me be like Pauline. Listen. Be purposeful with your time. You spend time in his word. What's the next 5 minutes look like? What's the next 5 minutes look like? We're going to spend some time in worship. We're going to worship him. And I'm not just talking about, listen, you're just going to throw a song on. You're going to literally praise him. Like, I don't sing good. Join the club. But it'll change your life if you start, only thing you're listening to is worship music. I'm gonna use Phil as an example. He said, hey, what's that playlist you have on during Connection Group? I need that. Can you send it to me? Later on that week, he's, hey, that's all I've been listening to. And it's really changing my perspective. It's really changing my outlook on things. And it's really challenging me because I've been listening to other things. I've been finding more words. I've been finding my own now. He's been feeding himself. He's learning to worship on his own now. Become a worshiper. Don't just rely on the amazingly talented individuals that lead us into the presence of God on Sunday mornings. Learn how to do it yourself. And guess what? On Sunday mornings, you won't be as timid worshiping in front of your friends. Okay, I'll give you an example. Any golfers in the room? Any golfers? Audience participation. I know there's more than two golfers here. Raise your hand. Tell the truth. Shame the devil. Okay, anybody that pretends to golf? Okay, more people raise their hand. What's the most nerve-wracking thing in golf? The first tee, right? It's the first tee because everybody's watching you. At least that's what it is for me. Okay, maybe you don't relate, but it's the first tee. Everyone's watching you. The foursome behind you is watching you. The ranger's watching you. Everybody's watching you. You're like, please, Lord, don't let me shank it off this tree and send it back into the clubhouse. Right? We've all been there. Please, Lord, please don't let me hit this tee and the ball just go bloop. I've done it. Please, Lord, don't let me rip it off the side of this golf cart. Done that. Coop's looking at me like, you did that? Coop, I think you might have been with me for a couple of those. He'd be like, don't worry, Pastor, just rip another one. You're always keeping score. But what do you do as a golfer? You go and practice at the driving range. You go and practice over and over and over and over and over and over and over again, and that anxiety lessens. Not because you necessarily got any better, but you realize that it's not such a big deal. And you don't worry what other people think of you because you realize that everybody else is in the same boat. So if you're worshiping during the week, when you come here, you're not worried about the person sitting behind you or in front of you or beside you because you're just so excited. And your week is just going to, it's just going to overflow. And you're not dependent on the worship leader because you're a leader of worship. What's the third one? 15 minutes, right? We got five more left. Prayer. You're going to spend 5 minutes in prayer. Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Don't worry about anything. What are we worrying about? We're not going to worry about anything. We're not going to worry about anything. Why? Because worry's worthless. What are we going to do instead? We're going to pray about what? Okay, this section is going to pray about everything. This section over here is like, we're not doing anything. So. Pauline, she'll do. Pauline's just like, she's like, I ain't giving you 15 minutes. We're going for an hour. Okay, listen. Pray about everything. Tell God about what you need and thank him about all that he's done. Then you'll experience God's peace, which exceeds anything you can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and his minds and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. I'm going through some stuff. I'm really struggling, this, that, and I'm experiencing peace. How? I don't understand it. I don't know what's going on. That's biblical. I'm looking at some of you right now. I know the storms of life that you're going through, but I know that you're experiencing God's peace, and that's biblical. I know there's some people in this room right now, you're going through the hurricane force winds right now. Your life is upside down, but you're experiencing God's peace. You're experiencing his love. You're experiencing his comfort. You're experiencing everything, and why? Because you're not worried, because you know he got you. Why? Because your foundation is in him. It's not in the culture. It's not in tradition. It's not in your own reasoning. And it's not in your feelings. If it were in those things, most of us would go crawl under a rock. I'd be with you. I'd have to be a big rock, but I'd be there. So after we do these things, after our foundation is solidified, after we start spending consistently, not just once in a while, but our first fruits, our first time in his word, how do we make it grow deeper in our life? How do we let it become something that's growing roots in our life? Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let it become more and more a part of your life. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all of the wisdom that it gives you. I told you about the construction that's happening at our house, and there's been professionals in our house. There's been people that should be professionals because of the wisdom and knowledge that they have. They are amazing. Now, with every single person that's come into our home, they all come in with a different set of skills, but they all come in with their own tools. I've had DeWalt guys. I've had Milwaukee guys. I've had Makita guys. Yeah, right. It's like the teal drills, Makita. Okay. DeWalt's yellow, Milwaukee's red, Makita's teal. It's weird. Okay. Nobody brought any Rigid. Now, why? They like that tool. Now, I'm not at that level. I'm a Ryobi guy, but they're made by Milwaukee, so I'm good. I'm good. I'm totally confident in who I am. And all my stuff matches. It's green. Okay. I don't want any of that red stuff because it doesn't match. I don't want yellow. It doesn't match. I'm still at that level. Okay? It's all got to match. Phil's looking at me like, that's cute. You're with me, though. All your stuff's Milwaukee. It's got to match. Why am I telling you this? Because they not only like it because of what color it is. They like it because of how it's used, and I've gotten to learn these things. My driver, I've learned how much I've used it, that it kicks in at a certain level of the trigger. Jim's driver kicks in at a different level of the trigger. They work differently. I never learned this before. I didn't know this. The Milwaukee one kicks in at a whole different level. I'm like, man, this is interesting. I never knew this. I thought a drill was a drill. I thought a driver was a driver. I thought a hammer was a hammer. I'm learning all of these things. I thought a screw was a screw, right? So why am I telling you this? If you're going to go and allow for the Word of God to enrich your life deeply, you need to get a Bible that you're going to use. Not the one I tell you to use, not the one that you need to get a translation that you're actually going to read. We use the New Living Translation. You might not want to read the New Living Translation. You might want the NASB. You might, the New American Standard Bible. You might want the ESV, the English Standard Version. You might really like that. Listen, I have all of them. You might need to get around Jim Armstrong, who has more Bibles than you can even imagine. He has Bibles that don't even have words in them. They're just blank pieces of paper because they were misprints at the publisher that he works at. And his wife looks at him like, why do you have this? He's like, I don't know. I might need it one day. But get around somebody that's not only going to help you find the translation that you like, but help you use it. And then after you find out that, listen, I really like this translation, then you know, I need to go deeper, then you get yourself a study Bible. It's going to tell you who wrote it, why it was written, when it was written, who it was written to. It's going to take you a little bit deeper. Then you realize, like, listen, oh, man, I need to get a more hardy power tool. I already told Rachel, I was like, listen, when this cheap one breaks, I know the better one I want. I got my first ever multi-tool. Thing's amazing. I could cut everything out. So cool. But I realized I like the different one that's easier to change the blade, that if I don't have to worry about where my Allen wrench went. Because if I have to change the blade out, I can't change it quick like Jim's. Jim's is really cool. But I don't like DeWalt stuff. It's yellow. I'm just messing around. But listen, I'm learning these things. And I remember when I started to learn that stuff about the Bible, too. Like, oh, it's really cool to read this translation, and then read this translation, and then read this translation. Every time I prepare to preach, I read the New King James, and then I go to the New American Standard, and then I read the ESV, and then I read the NLT, and then the day before I preach, it's like a dessert. I get to read the Message. Every single time. I want you to fall in love with the Word of God like that, and you fall in love with doing that and learn how to use your tool. If I would have left it there, you all would have just stared at it like, is he going to pick it up? Is he going to grab that? Make it a weapon in your life. Ephesians 6, verse 13. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so that you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after battle, you'll be able to stand firm. Listen, so many of you have been going to war and fighting the wrong way. There's a tool for everything. I'm learning this in the natural at my house. I'm seeing things done. I'm like, that's how you do that. There's a tool for that. I had no idea that that's how easy that would be if I would have just had the right tool. We put new ceilings in our dining room and in our bedroom. And then while we were doing that, we were like, oh, what a better idea than to flood the bathroom and ruin the kitchen ceiling. So then we put a new ceiling in the kitchen. Phil and I ripped that ceiling out. That was fun. Great stories there. Pastor Nick, cut that. It'll hold. And now I open my eyes. He's like, it didn't hold. And half the ceiling's on his head. Great stories here, guys. Okay? Now listen. When we put the new ceiling up, water started leaking again. It's not allegedly. I have it on camera. And people saw it. But we discovered another problem. And we knew how to battle it. We just had to put silicone around certain areas because we realized that we're not going to fix one area and not fix this area. Why am I telling you this? Because when you start allowing for God to reveal things in your life, there's going to be other things revealed. And you're going to need to fix that issue, and then you're going to need to fix this issue, and then you're going to need to fix this issue. But he's going to give you a weapon and a tool and a way to fight, and it's different than the way the culture has taught you to do it your whole life. And the way that you battle is different now. It's not the way that you used to do it or the way that you're used to do it, the way that you're comfortable doing it. It's time to get uncomfortable. Matthew 4, 3 through 4. During that time, the devil came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread." But Jesus told him, "No, the scriptures say, people do not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Listen, even Jesus got tempted. Even Jesus, his identity, he became God in the flesh. Even Jesus and his identity got tempted. You're going to walk out of this place today. How do I know this? Because we're going to turn the lights off, we're going to lock the doors, and you're going to leave before we lock the doors. In Jesus' name. Because if you have to go out the emergency exit, it's just a whole thing. We've done it before. It's just, we got to come back, and then we got to find the key to turn the alarm off. And it's just, please just leave before we lock the doors, okay? We check all the bathrooms and everything, but sometimes people don't answer when you say, "Anybody in here?" Okay, but you're going to leave here. You're going to go home. And some of you, that the enemy's going to hit you once you get in the car. Did Jesus really say, are you really this? Are you really that? And some of you, you're not going to have the right tools to fight with, because the Word of God hasn't been embedded in your heart yet. So how do we fight? I want you to start memorizing Scripture. I want you to start memorizing it. Start with memorizing Scripture. Find a verse and remember it. I'm a new creation. I'm more than a conqueror. I will overcome by the word of my testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. Start memorizing it. He is who he says he is. He is the way, the life, the truth. Start memorizing Scripture. I love it. My son's six. He's memorizing the books of the Bible. He's memorizing. Rachel's a phenomenal teacher. She has so much patience and so much grace and so much mercy. Lennon, he's singing Scripture. I'm like, man, I'm sitting there. I remember that one now because they're singing songs. If you need to memorize Scripture, just come to Rachel's Bible class with Lennon and her. They'll sing Scripture. Just bring cookies. Stepanovic Academy. She has a card and everything. You get discounts. They're teaching. I'm the dean of students. I only get called in if there's a correctional issue. Start memorizing Scripture. But you got to start with, you got to know who you are because of who he is. You got to get your foundation solidified. You got to know that you're a son or a daughter. You got to take your rightful position. Do you have a day, a time, a place where you've accepted him as your Lord? Do you have a day, a time, and a place where you've repented of your past and accepted him as the forgiver and leader in your future? If you don't, let today be your day. It's real simple. Believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that he is Lord. You shall be saved. Saved from what? Yourself. Your past. But this is the exciting part. Your future, if you haven't accepted him. You're saved from your future. And you're given a new one. Eternity with him instead of eternity without him. Heaven and hell. So if you don't have a day, a time, a place, let today be your day. Just slip your hand up to heaven and say, that's me. I need him. I need to accept him as my Lord and Savior. Anyone at all today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Anyone else? The heavens are rejoicing. Anyone else? Jesus, thank you. you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That's three for the day. Anybody else today? We got four? Father God, I thank you for the three hands that were raised. I thank you for who they are because of who you are. Lord, I thank you for what you've done, what you're doing, and what you're going to do. Give us a great expectation, not only for those individuals, but for all of us, Lord. God, we bring all honor, all glory, all praise to your name.